We're gonna take a trip right now. Like we always do about this time.
This is a journey into sound. Break it down.
I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. On this week's show, I'll be speaking with the classical music pianist and activist, Laura Downs. Laura Downs will be appearing in Indianapolis on May 19 and 20 with the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra. She'll be performing the Florence Price Piano Concerto. Price was the first African-American woman to have her work performed by a major orchestra. Laura Downs has championed the work of Florence Price. In 2020, she recorded an album of the composer's music titled Florence Price Piano Discoveries. Laura Downs has become a significant advocate for African-American voices in classical music. Downs is the host and creator of Amplify, an NPR web series that features Downs in conversation with a wide range of significant Black musicians. She's also the creator and curator of Rising Sun Music, a recording label that focuses on historic and contemporary Black composers. I'll discuss all of this and more with Laura Downs in just a moment. But first, let's listen to a piece from her 2020 album, Florence Price Piano Discoveries. This is Fantasy Negra, number 4 in B minor. That was pianist Laura Downs performing the Florence Price composition, Fantasy Negra, number 4 in B minor. Laura Downs will be performing the Florence Price Piano Concerto with the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra on May 19 and 20. And Laura Downs is my guest this week. Let's join our conversation. And Laura, thank you so much for being on the program today. I'm a huge fan of your work, and it's an honor to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. I took a listen to some of your podcast episodes. It's a cool project.
I appreciate that. And I wanted to ask about your work in radio. You do an amazing show called Amplify, which is available through NPR Music. And you have really deep conversations about music on this show, which I love. It's not about, you know, promoting somebody's newest single. You really get deep into the meaning of the work and the meaning of the music. And you just launched season 3 of Amplify. So I wanted to give you a chance to talk about the show and tell us about this upcoming season of programs.
Yeah, thank you. It's one of my favorite things that I do. This project launched in 2020, really in, you know, that spring when everything had come to a screeching halt for me in other areas of my life. And actually, I mean, it just happened very organically. I think one of the things that I realized when, you know, all else stopped was that I had this need to connect with my colleagues in the world of music. It had actually been something on my mind. Like, I had just spent some time with some colleagues that February. We'd run into each other by chance in Boston, and we had had this conversation about how our lives on the road really prevent us from, you know, touching base with each other and sharing thoughts with each other and feeling a community. So it just felt like at least an opportunity to, you know, reach out and just kind of share the experience of that time with friends and colleagues. And yeah, so then NPR greenlit the project as a series and just jumped in. And it's interesting, this third season that's just started, you know, we're all in such a different place. But when I look back at the timeline of the show, you know, it really, these conversations really bridge this very interesting space between, you know, the start of the pandemic, this real questioning of like, what is the future of the arts? What does it even look like now that, you know, none of us know, are doing anything that seems familiar, or, you know, our routines have stopped. We don't know what's coming. So there was that kind of just like uncertainty. And then, you know, because these are artists, these are Black artists who are sharing their thoughts about the work and the culture. Then of course, you know, it was through the death of George Floyd and the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement and this whole, you know, period that we've been in of kind of reckoning with big racial questions in this country. And now, you know, sort of a reemergence into a new phase. I mean, a new creative reality, I think, and talking about what comes next. What have we built out of what we've been through? And, you know, what are the ideas that are going to shape this next cultural era? So it's really exciting. And we launched with a wonderful conversation with this young jazz vocalist, Samara Joy, who just cleaned up at the Grammys. And it was so exciting to see her, you know, in that moment.
Yeah, it's an amazing show, and I encourage, if anyone likes the programs I do at this station, they're going to absolutely love what you're doing. So I appreciate you giving us the background on that. And Laura, you're going to be here in Indianapolis on May 19th and the 20th performing the Piano Concerto by Florence Price. And Florence Price was an incredible composer and a significant figure in the history of American arts and culture. She was one of the first Black women composers to really break through in the world of American classical music. And her work has had a huge impact on your life. You know, I'm going to play some tracks from your album, Florence Price, Piano Discoveries, on the program. But first, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about your connection to the work of Florence Price and how this work has really shaped the work you're doing today in so many different ways.
Yeah, thank you. It's one of those moments, you know, you don't realize it at the time, but it's a turning point. This is years ago. I mean, I want to say this is almost 20 years ago. So just very briefly, I grew up in California, but then I'd spent my formative years in Europe. So I came back to the States and for the first time, you know, was without my family here and just really trying to focus in a little bit on my identity as a human being and as a musician. Trying to make that transition from living abroad to finding a place in this culture and in this the world of the arts here. And I guess facing for the first time some questions about, you know, what does it mean to be, for me, what does it mean to be immersed in classical music in a tradition that is, as far as I know, European-based, dominated by white men and historically, you know, the music that I love is that's who made it, right? Mm. And looking for some reflection of myself in that tradition and not finding it and kind of questioning that reality. So I started actively looking for more breadth, I guess, diversity in American music. I just didn't know very much about American classical music at all because of this long period abroad and having been very much immersed in the European tradition. So I, you know, started this very amateur sleuthing and found one piece of music by Florence Price, which was her first fantasy for piano, and discovered a sound that I'd never heard before. You know, this sound that's blending the European classical tradition with influences from Black American life, spirituals and, you know, hints of jazz and just this very American rooted sound. And then also discovered her story and really locked in, I think, you know, a feeling of, I guess, a discovery of a history, you know, that did include me, like a broad history. So ever since then, I've been very connected to her music. And I guess in the, what year was it? 2018. Started investigating with the collaboration of a musicologist friend, Dr. Michael Cooper, the breadth of her music, which had been discovered. I don't know if, do you want me to tell the story about the abandoned house? Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when she died in 1953, there wasn't very much of her music that was left behind. And it wasn't until, I think, 2009 that the bulk of her output was discovered in an abandoned house in Illinois that had been her summer house. Just by chance, a young couple bought the house and they were starting to, you know, renovate it. It was absolutely in disrepair. It was falling down, you know, the roof had collapsed and everything else. And they just found these boxes and boxes of manuscripts. So those manuscripts ended up in the archives at the University of Arkansas. And, you know, people would go in every now and again and take a look, but really all this music was just sitting there. So Michael and I started going through the boxes and found piles of piano pieces, which ended up as that recording that you mentioned, Florence Price Piano Discoveries. But the more time I spend with her music, you know, the more I learn not just about her, but about an entire period in American music and also, you know, this broad tradition of Black classical composers. So she really was a gateway for me into a lot of work that I've done in recovering and advocating for performing, recording music by Black composers. And I mean, it's just been a thrill for me to play this concerto with some of our great orchestras, Philadelphia, Detroit. So excited to bring it to Indianapolis. It's just an absolutely fantastic piece.
Yeah, you've played this with major orchestras around the country. What does it mean to you personally to be able to kind of present this music of Florence Price in such a prominent way and kind of help not only restore her legacy, I guess, but to really introduce her work to new audiences? You're now part of her legacy in a big way, right? What does that mean to you?
I mean, it's so much. It's this feeling that you're right. You're picking up, you know, where someone left off. She was an intensely ambitious woman. I mean, you know, within the constraints of her time and place, she was operating at a pretty phenomenal level. And she had these big moments. As you said, she was the first Black female composer to have her work performed by a major American orchestra. That was the Chicago Symphony in 1933 at the Chicago World's Fair. And, you know, there were these big moments. And so I guess at a certain level, you know, she was very successful, but she always wanted more. She always wanted her music to be heard on our great stages. And she wanted to, you know, just sort of enter into the canon. And she kept writing. And there was a lot of rejection, a lot of disappointment. It's been a long time coming. So to be able to share this music with audiences and with my fellow musicians, you know, I feel like we're always on this kind of voyage of discovery together. I've played this piece now with orchestras, with players who hadn't played it before. And so to bring this thing to life and to recognize the greatness, the beauty of it, and then to, you know, experience the reaction of an audience hearing it for the first time, it's really something incredibly moving. I think my favorite story about this, though, is when I played the piece with the Detroit Symphony. This was about a year ago, I guess. And we did main stage concerts, but we also had the first school concerts back since the pandemic. So all these kids came into the hall and, you know, big buses of kids. And I played this piece for them and walked them through the piece. We divided it into its three sections and I introduced each piece. And there was something about experiencing their reaction to this piece. So many of them were in that hall for the first time. It was their first orchestra concert. And to hear that piece, to be introduced to this composer as their first interface with classical music, I realized a lot of things about invitation and reflection and inclusion and how important it is, you know, that we have these works and that we can be really clear and true about, you know, what American music is and what it has been and what it can be going forward.
Thank you.
That was pianist Laura Downs performing the Florence Price composition, Fantasy Negra, No. 2 in G minor. And Laura Downs is my guest this week. She'll be performing the Florence Price Piano Concerto with the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra on May 19 and 20. Laura Downs has become a significant advocate for African-American voices in classical music. Downs has created and led a variety of projects that explore the influence of Black composers and performers on American art music. That includes her 2015 album, A Billie Holiday Songbook, an instrumental tribute to the music of Billie Holiday. And we'll hear a track from that album now. This is Laura Downs with God Bless the Child. Cultural Manifesto will return with more words and music from Laura Downs after this short break. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. My guest this week is the classical music pianist and activist, Laura Downs. She'll be performing the Florence Price Piano Concerto with the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra on May 19 and 20. We've been discussing her advocacy for African-American composers of classical music. That work stretches back to Downs' earliest recordings. Her 2001 album, American Ballads, featured a track titled On Gossamer Wings, composed by the legendary jazz saxophonist Benny Golson. Let's listen to an excerpt of that recording. We just heard an excerpt of Laura Downs performing On Gossamer Wings, composed by the great jazz musician Benny Golson. Let's return to my conversation with Laura Downs as we discuss the significance of that recording. And Laura, you kind of addressed this already in an earlier question, but I wanted to ask you about this maybe a little more deeply. You know, your career has had a really fascinating arc. And you currently occupy, I think, an extremely important and unique position in American music. You're a musical archaeologist, right? You're illuminating important works that have been lost to time or unjustly excluded from narratives of American music for whatever reason. When you started your career as a pianist and a recording artist, you mentioned that canon white men of European and Russian heritage that kind of almost exclusively occupy that canon of classical music. Did you want to move away from that and find this sort of new world that you could occupy? Or is that something you just kind of gradually kind of grew into over time?
It was a gradual process. And, you know, as a young child, to fall in love with this music means to fall in love with whatever you know it to be, right? But there was always a bit of a disconnect, a bit of a like a cognitive dissonance, right? Because you accept the reality of being other in the world where you feel that you deeply belong. I'm not sure if I'm explaining that well, but you know, there's just this certain level of belonging that you don't have, and you take that for granted, and you have to be okay with it. And so what I've experienced is that since I have discovered this, as you put it, this new world, you know, this other world, this place that does reflect me, I just feel more deeply connected in the end with the entire tradition. I feel like I'm deeply connected with the music of Florence Price, but I think that connection allows me to feel more deeply connected with the music of Robert Schumann too. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just feels like we're all a musical family, and I feel more fully myself, I guess.
I think there were hints of what you're doing today in your early work, and I wanted to ask about one aspect of that. In 2001, you recorded a piece by the legendary jazz saxophonist Benny Golson titled On Gossamer Wings. It was like a solo piano piece he wrote. You featured that track on your album, American Ballads, and he also featured that track on his album, One Day Forever. And you recently recorded another piece by Benny Golson. But tell me how that partnership with Benny Golson came about, and kind of, am I right? Was that kind of a hint at greater things to come in the future with your career, in terms of
you're better than I am at seeing the linear progression of my life and work, I think. Meeting Benny was amazing. And that was by chance. I mean, I had a kind of a stroke of luck when I was very young. And that label, which was called Arcadia Records, which was primarily a jazz label, offered me this opportunity to make a recording. And Benny, that was Benny's label home. And Benny had always dreamed of writing some classical pieces, and specifically for piano. So we were introduced, and he wrote On Gossamer Wings for me, and we got to know each other well. And I guess that was the beginning of some kind of an opening for me, of understanding that musicians can talk to each other across genres, you know, that we can have curiosities that extend beyond our training, that we can learn from each other. I mean, my early years were very traditional and very tradition bound, you know, in that sort of narrow lane that is a conventional classical music training. So yeah, I guess that was the first opening up, and to meet somebody like that, you know, with such a deep history in American music. Again, I keep coming back to this word family. There was a feeling of, you know, lineage, and maybe being part of an American tradition that wasn't only constrained to the classical world. And it was a wonderful experience for both of us. And then, yeah, I had a little pile of music from Benny. So I just recently recorded Classical Dreams, another one of his pieces.
Yeah, and you presented Classical Dreams, I believe, as part of your Rising Sun music platform. And I wanted to ask you about that. You know, I've been referencing the work you're doing as a musical archaeologist, and you created a platform to share some of this music that you've been encountering and recording, Rising Sun Music, which is a label and digital music platform that presents work by Black composers spanning the history of American music to the present day composers out there working. Tell us, and you know, you deserve like a Pulitzer Prize or a MacArthur Grant for doing this, in my opinion. Tell us about Rising Sun Music and what people can hear from the label, and kind of what inspired the creation of it.
So I guess going back to Florence Price for a moment, I learned two things from my interface with her life and her work. Number one, how fragile it is, you know, a body of work, a legacy, how easily it can disappear. Because if that young couple hadn't gone through that attic and found those mildewed boxes full of torn up manuscripts, if those had just gotten put in a dumpster, we wouldn't have this music. And I think that that's not an isolated incident. And when you look at the community of Black composers, you know, this is unfortunately a history of people who were working without a lot of resources, often without means for preserving and protecting their legacy. A lot of things can easily get lost. So I've been really scanning and working with families, with, you know, archivists, and it has been kind of detective work and archaeology to recover some of these these manuscripts, these pieces. So the vulnerability of that tradition has been very much on my mind. And also the other thing that I learned from my work with Florence Price's music, as I said before, is that she was part of a community and a lineage and a legacy. And that, you know, that sort of, there's this exponential growth in what you learn. As soon as you enter into this world, you learn about more and more figures. So over these years, I've really collected a lot of information, a lot of music, and it's, I felt that a hub was a necessary thing. And it was interesting. I think my motivation to get that label started actually came from a conversation that I had with the radio community. I had been asked to speak at the public radio program directors conference. And we were having a conversation about diversity in programming and kind of expanding, you know, the breadth of what's played on radio and what people hear and what people know as classical music. And, you know, the thing that kept coming back to me was, we don't have the recordings. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can know about this music, we can talk about the music, but we can't play the music because the music's not there. So I thought that as important, maybe more important than, you know, the scholarship and the writing about this stuff is actually to get it recorded. So Rising Sun Music is that. It's a digital hub, and I launched the label with a very generous grant from the Sphinx Organization Venture Fund. And we just started in 2021, I guess, in the spring, recording, you know, a lot of these pieces that I had collected. A lot of those early recordings were done remotely, and we were servicing them every single month to radio stations. And it's been a pretty extensive body of work that's been recorded now by composers. You know, I mean, there were works by William Grant Still and Florence Price and Margaret Bonds that had never been recorded. And then, you know, others whose names are still not even as well known, as well as living composers. So yeah, I'm proud of it and excited about, you know, what this means, just the existence of these recordings, what that means for the world of listeners and music lovers.
Let's pause and listen to a recording from Lara Downs' Rising Sun Music series. We'll listen to Downs' 2021 recording of composer Harry Burleigh's Southern Lullaby. That was pianist Lara Downs performing the Harry Burleigh composition, Southern Lullaby. And Lara Downs is my guest this week. She'll be performing the Florence Price Piano Concerto with the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra on May 19 and 20. Let's return to our conversation. Before we go today, I'm like a shameless promoter of Indianapolis music history, and I wanted to ask you about a track you recorded recently that connects to our music history here. In 2021, you released an EP titled Remember Me to Harlem, and you recorded Love Will Find a Way from the famous musical revue Shuffle Along from 1921. Shuffle Along featured music and lyrics written by U.B. Blake and the Indianapolis band leader and vocalist and musician Noble Sissel. First, I'm just curious what drew you to that song and if you have any knowledge of Noble Sissel and his contributions to music.
So I have to admit that my knowledge about him is pretty much confined at this point to Shuffle Along, and I would love to know more. Why did I record the song? It's just a gorgeous song, and I was hearing things in it that didn't exist in, you know, the recordings that were out there. For me, there is a huge significance about the centenary that we're observing now from the start of the Harlem Renaissance. You know, Langston Hughes called Shuffle Along the start of the Harlem Renaissance in 2021. So I really wanted to kind of mark that moment musically. And actually, going back to this new season of Amplify, that is a theme that we're exploring in a lot of the conversations, that moment of intense creativity among the world of Black artists, you know, the reasons for that flowering in the 1920s and some similar energy that's happening now, you know, kind of comparing and contrasting and wondering what's coming next. But I'm so glad that you heard that recording, and I love that recording. And also I was able to play that piece with an orchestra last year. We came up with an orchestral arrangement too. It should be an American songbook classic, that song.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Indianapolis, you mentioned the Harlem Renaissance. Around that same time, there was something similar happening here in Indianapolis in a neighborhood called Indiana Avenue, which is famous for producing jazz musicians like Freddie Hubbard, J.J. Johnson, Wes Montgomery, and so many others. But it was also a hub of Black classical music. I don't know if you're familiar with Todd Duncan, who was the original Porgy and Porgy and Bess, Shirley Graham Du Bois. Carol Bryce, the opera vocalist, came out of Indianapolis. As I mentioned, Noble Sissel was here. The National Association of Negro Musicians, which was a really significant social and group for Black composers, was very active here. And a lot of the leaders of the organization were from Indianapolis. So much of this history has yet to be written. Have you heard at all about the kind of scene that happened here in Indianapolis? David Baker also, I should mention, composer and academic at Indiana University.
I feel like you need to give me a tour when I come.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, really.
Yeah, well, thank you for indulging me in the Indiana history there.
Well, you know what's going to happen now. I'm going to go down rabbit holes with this.
From her 2021 album, Remember Me to Harlem, this is Laura Downs performing Love Will Find a Way. That was pianist Laura Downs performing Love Will Find a Way off her 2021 album, Remember Me to Harlem. And Laura Downs is my guest this week. Let's return to our conversation. And Laura, I want to end with your latest single, Even This Laughter, Even Your Tears, which is a really beautiful, haunting piece. And it seems like it has an interesting story, which involves you listening to SoundCloud. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this composer, Devon Russell Gray, who is very hard to define because he's just a brilliant and fluid mind and creative being. We'd been introduced by a mutual friend, and I was just listening to his music. This was back in 2016, and I heard these three little piano improvisations of his on SoundCloud. We started chatting back and forth, and I asked him if he would transcribe them for me. And he was kind of terrified to do it and really resistant. And it took him 4 years. And then he finally sent me the pieces in 2020. Again, you know, at this time when we were all in a very different mind space. And so I think at that point, the pieces had absorbed a lot of shift and feelings of loss and questions and all sorts of things, which I think remain embedded in that music. So this is the first single from an album that's coming out in the spring called Love at Last. It's a collection of pieces that are all coming from very different voices, many different cultures and countries and time periods, but really unified by a common vision for human connection and empathy and communication and community. And I think that this piece by Devon speaks to that really beautifully.
And Laura, you'll be here in Indianapolis on May 19th and the 20th performing with the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra. These are going to be really exceptional concerts. So thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it. And again, it was an honor to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
From her new album, Love at Last, this is Laura Downs performing Even This Laughter, Even Your Tears. That was Laura Downs performing Even This Laughter, Even Your Tears off her new album, Love at Last. And Laura Downs has been my guest this week. She'll be performing the Florence Price Piano Concerto with the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra on May 19 and 20. Go to indianapolissymphony.org for more information. I'm Kyle Long, and you've been listening to Cultural Manifesto. Thank you for tuning in.